Josh and WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a civic media station.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Brian Clark. Joy in Israel as Hamas has released all 20 living Israeli hostages. Sound of a phone call between family members and released hostage Bar Cooperstein. These hostages now receiving medical treatment at hospitals in Israel. There is also a focus on the 28 deceased hostages. Hamas says it will release the remains of four today. Israel, meanwhile, has released more than 1,900 prisoners as part of the deal, which was brokered by the U.S. President Trump celebrated the agreement in remarks to the Israeli parliament.
Now it's time to translate these victories against terrorists on the battlefield into the ultimate prize of peace and prosperity for the entire Middle East.
He called it a new dawn for the region. He's now en route to Egypt, where he'll co-chair a peace summit with the leaders of more than 20 nations focused on the next steps of this agreement. This is ABC News.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on WISS, Oshkosh and Appleton.
For 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale. There's an opening on the Oshkosh Common Council. Councilmember Chris Larson resigned from the council on Thursday, effective immediately. Larson explained his resignation in a Facebook post, saying he resigned as soon as he learned that the council would begin discussions this week on the possible and theoretical purchase of the city center properties where Larson operates a business. He said that to avoid any perceived conflict of interest and to be able to negotiate effectively for his business and employees, he resigned. A link to apply for the vacant seat will be posted on the city's website sometime this week. While most federal legislators went home at the beginning of the government shutdown, 6th District Congressman Glenn Grothman stayed behind at the nation's capital. Civic Media's Bob Nelson has more.
The federal lawmaker from Glenbeulah says normally they pass a continuing resolution to keep the government funded at previous levels, but there's some politics involved this time. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer faces a likely challenge from Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez in a primary in New York. Congressman Grothman says Senator Schumer wants to look good for the people at home, so he's fighting passing of a continuing resolution. Meanwhile, the shutdown is affecting others.
I talked to a farmer the other day. He is supposed to get his annual payment. One of the farm support programs was supposed to be made the first week in October. He's not getting it. He's got a mortgage payment to be made. So there are all sorts of people whose lives are being disrupted.
Grothman says there will likely be movement on the shutdown when checks to military personnel come due Wednesday. For Civic Media News, I'm Bob Nelson.
I'm Lisa Hale for 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News.
It's the Brewers and the Dodgers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball, the National League Championship Series. Game one is tonight in Milwaukee. The first pitch at 7:08. Game two tomorrow night. Then they play games 3, 4, and 5 if needed in L.A. in a best-of-7 series to determine who goes to the World Series. NFL, the Packers held on to beat the Bengals 27-18 in Green Bay. Head coach Matt LaFleur.
A lot of these games are going down to the wire. You got to give Cincinnati a ton of credit for what they were able to do, specifically offensively the second half.
NBA, the Bucks beat the Bulls in Chicago 127-121. Doc Rivers likes what he saw from Giannis and their new players.
What we have is more guys getting downhill. Scoot's getting downhill a lot. Cole is getting downhill a lot. Kuz is getting downhill a lot. And Giannis gets downhill. Last year we had Giannis. So even though we led the league in percentage, we just couldn't create enough of them.
That's the Bucks' Doc Rivers with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on WISS, Oshkosh, and Appleton.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Clouds with some showers lingering this morning, then increasing sunshine through the day today and pleasant with a high pretty close to 70. Tonight, a partly cloudy sky, a low in the low 40s, and partly sunny for tomorrow, a high in the low 60s. It's 55 right now.
Lakeland Care is proud to be named one of the top workplaces in Wisconsin for 2025. But what really sets us apart is our commitment to providing personalized support for frail elders and adults with disabilities. Our care teams go above and beyond to help our members live their best lives with dignity and independence. Interested in becoming a member? Visit your local Aging and Disability Resource Center to see if you qualify. To learn more, visit www.lakelandcareinc.com. Lakeland Care. Together, we build better lives.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
State Senator Jeff Smith. We're talking about the Veteran Housing and Recovery Program. Republicans blocked funding for this.
They instead sent the governor a 16-page letter blaming him for this problem. Well, it was in his budget. Once the budget is out of his office and in their hands, it's up to them. Our job is to manage the funding. We can do it, but the governor can't. So it's avoiding our own responsibility by not addressing that.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight from HBO's Task, I welcome Jamie McShane and comedian and host of the WGN Morning Show, Mike Toomey. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
98.3 and 96.5 WISS. Home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Gavin Butenoff coming to you live from our home here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up today, Sholly Pittman, Civic Media's news director, going to be joining us after the 9:30 news. Going to talk a little bit more about the data centers in Wisconsin. One has just been rejected in Mount Pleasant. Another one in Port Washington, getting some late pushback.
Yes.
So yeah. We'll have an update with Sholly Pittman, see where we are with that. And it's kind of interesting. There are more data centers in Wisconsin, I think, than folks realize.
It's definitely, and we've talked about this before, it is definitely the new thing that's being pushed in this state. And there's lobbying for it heavily. I've heard it on the radio. And they want to make Wisconsin a hub because of our land, our access to water.
It's water.
We are next to not just a great lake, a fantastic lake. But they want that. And we'll get more into this, but I'll just say this. I personally don't have a problem with data centers as long as we are doing it responsibly that does not take too much from our natural resources and from the people and doesn't sock them with the bill.
Well, there's that.
Yeah.
Yeah. In hour number two, we're going to talk to Democrats Abroad. This is an organization that has been on the show before. Mm-hmm. Today, we're going to talk to the vice chair of Democrats Abroad.
What's their name?
His name is George King IV.
Oh, I love it.
I had to look at it like five times because I thought it was King George IV.
Yeah.
Originally, it's like, wow.
Talk to a child.
William and Kate's son is taken to the airwaves early. George King IV is the vice chair of Democrats Abroad. We're going to talk to him after the 10 o'clock news. I'm very curious what the view is from overseas as to what is going on here in the United States and whether or not there are concerns from Democrats Abroad about going forward. There has certainly been a lot of discussion. You know, Republicans want to get rid of mail-in voting. That would affect a whole bunch of people.
Yes.
Americans. Who live overseas.
Yep.
So we'll talk to George about that in hour number two. We will lighten it up for the last half an hour of the show. Audio sorbet after 10:30, where we take a breath, get away from the news. Videos.
Yeah.
You can watch for hours. Yeah.
Whether they're specific or if it's like a subsection of them, like I love watching lawn care videos, or if there's just like there is a video of them. I just saw one today of them like getting rid of the mange and the hair of, I think it was a mastiff. Like this thing had the longest hair, like it was dreaded. And when it was done, so cute. But yeah, I love these videos.
Okay. We're going to talk about videos.
Videos
you have to watch more than once. Mm-hmm. Videos you can watch for hours.
Videos you send to everybody.
Yes. Whether they want them or not. Yeah. That's coming up at 10:30, and then we'll wrap up the show, as we always do, with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Run for the Border, literally, edition. Stay tuned for that. We do have some exciting baseball news.
Brewers start the NLCS tonight against the Dodgers at American Family Field this evening. It's one of seven games, possibly seven games. We'll see. I've gone back into my mode of being terminally sick to my stomach.
Just a mixture of hope and dread.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Hope and dread.
Dread generally wins, though. The hope usually comes around the top of the ninth when we're ahead 38-4, and there's two outs. That's where I start to feel
good. Feeling good?
Yeah, I'm feeling great about their chances. Yeah.
Tonight, game one, Dodgers at the Brewers. Our broadcast will start at 6:30. You cannot listen on the stream. You do have to listen on terrestrial radio. So you can listen to the game live tonight. Again, our broadcast starts at 6:30 on WRCE in Richland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, WCQM in Park Falls, WBZH in Hayward, and here in Racine and Kenosha on WRJN. And Brewers hosting the Dodgers tonight at 6:30. Go Crew.
Go Crew. And you know what? I'll say this, too. Thank you, Cubs, for a great series.
That's
Thank you very much.
Very nice of
yes,
you.
That's all. And yes.
I'm
and
just going to leave it at that.
And I mean that. I'm not being snark. I'm not being. I truly mean it. It was a great series. Fought to the very end. There you go.
That's how to be a gracious winner.
Thank you.
Cubs fans.
Thank you. Thank you for undercutting my moment there.
Lesson on gracious losing, but we won't go there right now.
Everyone was expecting me to say that, and Jane said that. Let the record state and show and be carved into the annals of history. I was the good guy this time.
Yeah. Sorry, Cubs fans. You lost fair and square. Get over it. Okay. Yeah. More cuts are coming to Wisconsin under the Trump administration, and it affects everyone.
Yes.
Not just people who voted one way or another. It's kind of shocking. This from the Wisconsin Examiner, Eric Gunn has the byline. Wisconsin could lose $130 million as the Energy Department targets grants that were awarded under President Biden. Trump administration wants to cut up to $24 billion in projects that were originally okayed by the Biden administration. Yeah. Wisconsin, the grants on the list are a mix of projects helping to boost energy efficiency, including supporting expanding battery storage, which is important.
Yes.
One potential casualty, more than $1 million to help prepare young people to enter apprenticeships. We've heard about this so much, especially from members of the Trump administration, where college is a waste. Don't go to college.
Yeah.
Go into the trades. Do something else. Don't go to college. Well, we had programs in place to help prepare young people to get into apprenticeships so they could go into the trades. And now we're talking about slashing it.
Not surprised. If you know me, you know that I am the product of an apprenticeship program. I very much believe in them. I believe in higher education, whatever form that takes. If it's something requiring 4 years of college, great, go for it. That's what you need to do. Do it. But if that isn't your path, tech schools, vocational schools, apprenticeship programs, getting into the trades, those specifically are just unfireable. Well, I shouldn't say unfireable jobs. You can get fired. They can take away your training. You are marketable when you have these types of skills.
And you can take those skills everywhere.
And they cannot export those jobs. Those jobs have to be done here because you're doing the real work in people's homes and on construction sites, cutting hair, whatever it is. But we should be fostering this. We should be financing it. It should be investment programs into this to get people through these programs. But no, they're going to cut them because that's what they do.
Well, rich people need their tax break. That's what all these cuts are for.
Yeah.
Let's not forget, ultimately, this is about tax breaks for the ultra wealthy.
Yes.
That is why we need all of these other cuts to offset the big gift that they're being given.
The way.
Yeah. The two largest Wisconsin projects on this list involve Alliant Energy. One is a $50 million grant to upgrade the rural electrical grid. Upgrading the rural electrical grid. $50 million for that. That's important.
Yes.
For our rural communities.
Yes.
Also cutting $30 million for a power storage system to be built near Portage. The electrical grid upgrade project did get a conditional commitment in December, but the final award agreement has not been executed so far. No federal monies have been received or spent.
Mm. Again, I'm not shocked by any of this. I'm not surprised by any of this. And once again, our rural folks are going to take a hit, another hit. I mean,
yes.
We've been talking about this nonstop, whether we're talking about the cuts to public broadcasting that will take away certain avenues of information from the rural area.
Hospitals.
We're talking about that. We're talking about upgrading the grid. I mean, and it's all for the billionaires, by the way. There's no, and anytime someone says, why are they doing this? If it comes to cutting funding, programs, anything. If anyone ever says to you, I don't understand why they're doing that, always know you can answer with this. It's for the billionaires.
Exactly.
It's always for the billionaires. They have put, these individuals have put the billion, because they are the billionaires. They have put these individuals over us now for, I mean, the umpteenth time. It's not exactly like all of a sudden America started not caring about
favoring
the working class.
Right.
It's been like this for a long time. But it's now it is so egregious and so blatant and so just in our face without an apology that I don't understand how anyone can stand behind this. And when people like Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, gets on television and says things like, you know, we wanted just a clean bill to fund the government. Well, no, you don't. You want to take this is just another step towards taking away everything when Democrats are trying to stand up to keep the health care accessible. And you're saying it's us giving money to undocumented folks. It's all about convolution and all about blurring the narrative. The narrative is always going to be about giving the billionaires money, period. Done. Your money becomes their money.
Well, it's pretty much their money anyway. A grant for the city of Kaukauna to install battery storage and also make electrical grid upgrades. Also on the list to get cut. The original grant was worth $3 million. So far, about $60,000 has been paid out, leaving almost $3 million that could still be canceled.
Yeah.
It's not good.
Again, tell me why this works. Tell me why this makes America win. Tell me why this is a good move from the White House. I need you to make me understand why this makes us win.
855-752-4842 if you'd like to join the conversation. Gene from Eau Claire on the line. Gene, we don't have a lot of time left, but go ahead. Thanks for joining us. What'd you want to say?
Okay, now this is my opinion from watching everything. I do not believe that Trump wants to make America great. I think he wants to destroy it. And everybody who didn't vote for him, he lost last election. And there's other things, too. Why is he going after, you know, he's hurting us internally, externally. Where is all the money going? We're supposed to have all this money from tariffs. In addition to that, why is this airport, I'm not sure all the specifics on it, from Qatar going into Idaho? This just makes me sick, guys. I hope people are paying attention. This guy is so dangerous. He's hurting every aspect of our country, and I hope everybody gets out there paying attention who's running. We got to vote these people out.
Yeah.
It is sick. Thank you very much. And I'm sorry to say that this morning, but watch what's going on, folks.
Yeah.
You have to. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Appreciate
Thanks,
it, Gene. Thank you.
Not wrong. MyVote.WI.gov. Look up who represents you. Tell them what you're thinking. Tell them what you want out of your leaders. MyVote.WI.gov.
And if you're looking for like-minded people, No Kings protests are set for this coming Saturday.
Yes.
Across the country. From what the Republicans said, it's going to be full of Marxists socialist, communist, feminist. So I don't know if you want to go to that or not, but I'm just...
And George Soros will be there.
And he'll be there personally handing out checks. Oh, good. When we return, George Stephanopoulos shows how it's done.
More like Stephanopoulos, are you right?
Oh, stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
From Oshkosh to Nina, this is 98.3 WISS.
During Medicare's open enrollment, it's common to receive mailers and see TV commercials that say you're missing out on some benefits. Before you respond to these ads, turn to Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol, here to help you prevent, detect, and report Medicare fraud. Don't be misled into enrolling in a plan that doesn't meet your health needs or cover your medications. Visit the Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol website at smpwi.org.
With locations in Appleton and Oshkosh, Insight Eye Care has been serving the Fox Valley since 1972, offering comprehensive eye care services. Their doctors also share a special interest in treating chronic dry eye disease.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
This is how we do it.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can join us. Call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up after the 9:30 news, Civic Media News Director Sholly Pittman will join us for a little recap. We're going to focus a little bit more on those data centers, the one in Mount Pleasant that was just rejected, and now there is some late opposition to one that looks like it's pretty much going forward in Port Washington. So we will talk with Sholly about that coming up. Right now, though, I don't know if you watch much Sunday morning television, all the Sunday morning talking heads.
I it depends on which one you're talking about, and it depends on who is on. Sometimes you're more interested than others. But, yeah, I am looking forward to this little moment here.
George Stephanopoulos had on Vice President J.D. Vance yesterday, and he was asking him about border czar Tom Homan.
Why, now, Jane?
For those of you who may be unaware, there was an undercover FBI sting carried out in September of 2024. Members of the FBI were posing as business people who allegedly gave Tom Homan a bag with $50,000 in cash in a fast food bag after Tom Homan helped to get them government contracts if Trump won the election. The White House has denied this. Homan himself has denied any illegal conduct, but It's never been clear on, did he take the money? Did he give the money back? It's on tape.
Yeah.
It's on tape.
Yes.
Of course, when Trump came in, he closed the case. But here is the exchange yesterday between George Stephanopoulos and Vice President J.D. Vance about these allegations against border czar Tom Homan. Calvin, please.
So you don't, what was caught on the tape, you're saying right now you don't know whether or not he kept that money.
I don't know what tape you're referring to, George. I saw media reports that Tom Homan accepted a bribe. There's no evidence of that. And here's, George, why fewer and fewer people watch your program and why you're losing credibility. Because you're talking for now 5 minutes with the Vice President of the United States about this story regarding Tom Homan, a story that I've read about, but I don't even know the video that you're talking about. Meanwhile, low-income women can't get food because the Democrats and Chuck Schumer have shut down the government.
That's because of you.
Right now, we're trying to figure out how to pay our troops because Chuck Schumer has shut down the government.
No,
you're focused on a bogus story. You're insinuating criminal wrongdoing against a guy who has done nothing wrong instead of focusing on the fact that our country is struggling because our government's shut down.
Because
let's
you.
Let's talk about the real issues, yeah. George. I think the American people would benefit much more from that than from you going down some weird left-wing rabbit hole where the facts clearly show that Tom Homan didn't engage in any criminal wrongdoing.
Wait.
It's not a weird left-wing rabbit hole. I didn't insinuate anything. I asked you whether Tom Homan accepted $50,000, as was heard on an audio tape recorded by the FBI in September 2024, and you did not answer the question. Thank you for your time this morning.
No, Lieutenant George, Governor I JD said that Pitcher's I don't.
Up next. We'll be right back.
Yeah, bye. Thank you. Bye-bye.
That is how you do it. The Vice President of the United States, which, by the way, when he goes, you're talking to the Vice President of the United States. Yeah. C-list celebrity at best. Second of all, when you're lying, there are consequences, and he is not owed that microphone, and you take it away when he's abusing the privilege. And that's what that was. It was a privilege. And once again, that man, the new mouthpiece of the Trump administration, if you ask me, because I don't know in your history, Jane, have you ever seen the vice president so visible on television?
Oh, no.
He is everywhere. Because the vice president doesn't have much of a job. And I'm seriously, they have as much responsibility as they want. And he has chosen to be the on-air press secretary of the Trump administration.
Pretty much.
When you lie like that, you take away the lollipop. And that's what George Stephanopoulos did. And that little moment, as I said to you earlier, is how you start.
It's a great beginning.
Yep.
It is.
Yep.
Again, he won't answer the question. He's doing nothing but obfuscate.
He's lying through his teeth.
Well, and again, and there's more to the exchange, but he's talking about, well, I'm sure Tom Homan has accepted, you know, he's a businessman, so sure he's accepted $50,000. Wait. It's just the tap dancing involved in this.
Yeah.
Is pretty amazing.
I'm sure he's accepted $50,000 in bags before. But the point is, we're talking about this moment, and you know about the video, and you know about the story, and it's not a left-wing rabbit hole. It is actually about a person giving favoritism to a group while on camera, or I should say promising favoritism.
Getting bribes for favors.
Exactly.
Getting bribes for favors, which, I don't know, under previous administrations, used to be a crime. It used to be.
And also,
didn't do that.
Let's just, once again, let's just try to imagine a world where a prominent Democrat, let's say one in New Jersey, who accepted money and gold. What should happen? Oh, that's right. He left office and he's in jail now.
Because the Democrats demanded it.
Yes. Yes.
We're talking about Gold Bar Bob Menendez.
And his wife, too, was held liable and responsible as well.
Being held responsible for their own actions. What a terrible thing.
When Democrats do things wrong, we take action, folks, because it's disgusting and they're liberal and awful. Tom Homan, who doesn't like a bag full of cash?
Exactly. It was only $50,000. Come on.
I find that stuff in my couch cushions.
Who doesn't get that in a Burger King bag? We have news coming up next. And then when we return, Civic Media News Director Sally Pittman will be here. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Come whack on it.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Matt and Air on Air.
WISS, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation.
And home to Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
For 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale.
An abused dog is safe at the Oshkosh Area Humane Society and is getting medical treatment after concerned citizens brought the issue up to police. Civic Media's Connie Fellman reports.
Oshkosh police are commending citizens for letting them know when they saw a man beating and kicking a bloodied dog in the head on Thursday. Video taken by bystanders shows the dog lying on the floor, bleeding from its mouth and head, and the man kicking the dog in the head hard enough to make the dog's entire body move. The dog is described as a young female pit bull. Officers found the dog in the suspect's home with a head injury as well as three large lacerations on her head in various stages of healing. Police also found six other dogs there. All seven dogs were taken to the Oshkosh Area Humane Society. In a statement, Oshkosh police said these acts are both inhumane and unacceptable and commended the people who reported it. They say the suspect had also threatened witnesses with physical injury. Police found the man walking in the street about a mile and a half away and took him into custody.
The unsanctioned biannual pub crawl observed by many UW Oshkosh students resulted in arrests and weapons violations over the weekend. The Oshkosh police report that on Saturday night, police were sent to the intersection of Scott and Cherry for several males brandishing firearms. A 17-year-old Nina man was arrested for first-degree recklessly endangering safety, among other charges. While still in the area, another altercation involving about 100 people took place, resulting in an officer being knocked down and receiving a head injury. Meanwhile, a Wisconsin state trooper observes another individual in the 800 block of Scott with a gun and began a foot chase, after which a 20-year-old from Ripon was arrested and put on a parole hold. I'm Lisa Hale for 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. John Candy's family still has trouble watching one of his biggest hits. Candy was self-conscious about his weight throughout his career and did not like the mud wrestling scene in Stripes. Candy passed away in 1994. He insisted on wearing a shirt throughout the entire scene due to his modesty, despite being encouraged to take it off by other filmmakers and cast. You can learn more about what made one of the most beloved Hollywood icons tick in the documentary John Candy, I Like Me, which dropped Friday, October 10th on Prime. When the live-action version of Snow White failed at the box office, Disney got cold feet and halted production on the live version of Tangled. Now it appears the production is back on and has its sights set on Scarlett Johansson for the role of Mother Gothel. There is no word yet on who will play Rapunzel or Flynn Rider or any other cast for that matter. Michael Gracie, who directed The Greatest Showman, will head up the project. You had me at Scarlett Johansson. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to WISS, the Fox Valley's home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Clouds with some showers lingering this morning, then increasing sunshine through the day today and pleasant with a high pretty close to 70. Tonight, a partly cloudy sky, a low in the low 40s, and partly sunny for tomorrow, a high in the low 60s. It's 55 right now.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
I like these organized mazes much, much better. On our street, there were these triplets, and the triplets were like 3 or 4 years old. We were just talking with the neighbors, and next thing we know, the triplets are gone. They thought we were playing hide and seek, so even though we're calling for them in the cornfield, they're not calling back. And that was a crazy 20 minutes, a fearful 20 minutes with the sun going down until we found them.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Todd Alba.
Hey everybody, join us next time. You can win tickets to the world premiere of No Packers, No Life at the Marcus Theater in Waukesha, and Jane Matinair is in to talk about headlines. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Box, Sweet Calby on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. She is Civic Media's news director, Shally Pittman, joining us. Good morning, Shally. Thanks for being here. How are you?
Good morning. Just another Monday in paradise, right?
Right, exactly. We won't talk about the Badgers game. We'll pretend that never happened. And just talk about other things like data centers. We did talk about this a little bit last week, Shelley, after Microsoft pulled out its plan for a data center in the village of Caledonia. There was a lot of pushback from the community there.
Yeah. And, you know, I know you talk about this stuff and we've even talked about it a couple weeks ago. And, you know, to be honest, there wasn't a ton of news over the weekend outside of sports ball. So thought it was a good time to go a little more in depth into data centers because it is constantly generating headlines. So yes, the Microsoft has pulled its plans for a data center in the village of Caledonia. I think I joined you 2 weeks ago.
Yep.
And forecasted this public meeting in the village hall, which I went to and did indeed bring out many members of the community. We have some reporting up on our website from that. You know, it was so packed that the parking lot was overflowed. And I talked with the local police officer who was frustrated that people were parking in the staff parking lot because there was nowhere to park. And, you know, what was interesting about that meeting before the plan was pulled is that you did see a variety of folks from all backgrounds or kind of political walks of life, strange bedfellows almost, coming out to voice their opposition. I saw in the parking lot as they're inside, as folks were testifying against giving their opposition, you know, I saw someone from Hot Government and someone from the Party for Socialism and Liberation in dialogue in the Village of Caledonia parking lot. So, you know, I think it's interesting that this
is interesting.
Falling neatly along party lines. Microsoft.
I was just going to say, I don't know. Forgive me, and I'll look this up too. But Hot Government, is that a group that I don't know what that is?
Hot Government is a grassroots group in Racine County that has voiced election conspiracy.
Theories.
Election conspiracies in the past, yet I had a long conversation with a gentleman who said he, I should say, wasn't there in his official capacity for Hot Government, but opposed the development project because opposed the data center because he said it would ruin the nature of the village of Caledonia. You know, that this was antithetical to the kind of rural way of life and that it was big companies coming in to take over. I hope I answered your question.
No,
you can look them up.
No, I'll look them up. I assume that the way you describe the other group, I'm like, Hot Government sounds like it's more on the conservative side. But honestly, that description, and we can talk about this another time, just kind of lends to the discussion that we can be differing on a lot of topics, but some of these discussion points we come together
agree on.
So continue. Thank you for that clarification.
And I should say that HOT stands for Honest, Open, and Transparent Government.
Gotcha.
In that acronym. So
thank you.
That was established, I think, like 5 years ago. There's a lot to unpack there, but we won't get into it.
Mm-hmm.
But So this plan has been pulled, right, in the village of Caledonia. Microsoft later said, hey, we're not going to pursue it here. And I bring that up because the plan to the village board had been slated to meet on this tomorrow. So that's not going to happen. Microsoft does say, though, that they are still looking at a site in Racine County, and Microsoft is already constructing a data center in Mount Pleasant on the site of the former Foxconn site. I did drive around there too 2 weeks ago, and I don't know if either of you have ever driven around that area.
I have a good friend who lives pretty close to there. It's huge.
Yeah.
The footprint is enormous. Yeah.
I live a hop and skip away from there, and one day I was driving up to Racine and I just sort of drove around the area that I felt like I was allowed to be in, but it is gigantic, and that huge green orb and everything about it just feels very weird. But I mean, honestly, for me personally, and this is my personal take, I was happy to see someone coming in to use the land. But yeah, I mean, what did you see, Shali, when you drove around?
I saw a lot of new development, a lot of new roads that weren't entirely fully functioning yet in some, you know, it kind of gives you a sense of how quickly not overnight, but how quickly some of this has sprung up that, you know, some of the traffic lights aren't working. I also saw some interesting titles. What was it? I think there was Innovation Lane and
Synergy
your
Avenue and
right.
Prosperity Road.
You get a sense for how vast this is, and you wonder what was there before, because I'm not from the area, but
it was,
you know,
all
driving
it was
around,
farmland. It was farmland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And driving around as I was doing my loop-de-loops, I also, you know, saw, you know, if you go far enough, you're like, oh yeah, this is wilderness, right?
Yes.
There's a creek running through here. Mm-hmm. So it kind of just helped give me a sense of scale for how vast.
Yeah, it's massive. It is massive. We're talking about the Microsoft, what was originally the Foxconn and now the Microsoft site in Mount Pleasant. By the way, if you're just joining Matt and Air on Air, Shali Pittman, our news director, is our guest. She joins us on Mondays.
And I was just going to say, for the people listening too, and what you're talking about, Shali, as far as what's there now and what used to be is, you know, once you hit Racine County all the way down to Kenosha County, you see all of these buildings in various stages of construction. And that is all like within the past 5-6 years, and 10 years if you want to include the Amazon buildings. And it was all, to what you were saying, Shali, it was all farmland. It was just vast acres of land not being used by farmers, and it's being sold off little by little all the time, every time we see a new building. So yeah, it's interesting to see, but again, I'll go back. I am happy that it's at least being, if it can't be used for farmland anymore. So I'm just at least happy someone's using it.
When you attended this meeting, I'm curious how many people were concerned about water usage, because these data centers require an enormous amount of water in order to keep everything cool, is my understanding.
Yeah, the water usage is something I have, frankly, a trouble understanding. So residents I spoke with had a number of concerns with the plan: water usage, electricity costs, skepticism over jobs numbers. I was thinking, as you were talking, Greg, about the deindustrialization of Milwaukee and how, you know, how this development plays into it. But the folks I spoke with were skeptical that it would really bring so many jobs, at least permanent jobs. Mm-hmm. Noise and traffic, concern over kind of big corporations coming into town. The water issue is interesting because places like the Microsoft facility have pointed to a closed loop water system, right, wherein it
just circulates. It just circulates.
Right. Now, I'm still unclear, because there have been conflicting messages on that. There are environmental groups who have estimated that these could use a lot more than those closed loop systems would allow you to believe. And it's different for every kind of data center. And same too with with the energy usage, right? We've kind of had conflicting messages. There was an analysis from Clean Wisconsin that found that just two of these data centers, including the under development one in Mount Pleasant from Microsoft, would use enough energy to power nearly double the number of homes in Wisconsin. But again, it
varies.
These things are so vast,
right?
That tracking them is challenging.
But that is a concern, and certainly with energy costs mm-hmm. as well, because I have seen in some other areas of the country where they're talking about getting people to agree with their power providers that the power provider can use governors on their electricity. For when the data center needs more, they can take it from your house.
Well, that just okay.
So this is an ongoing thing, and there's lots of unanswered questions around these.
Yeah. It is an ongoing thing. So later this week, in Port Washington, there's another meeting on Thursday over a TIF district for the data center project there. Now, that's also faced strong opposition. And some of the folks who showed up in Caledonia were not Village of Caledonia residents, right? They are going to all these proposed data centers and voicing their opposition, mm-hmm. which I also thought was interesting. So that's already underway. That's with the Denver-based Vantage.
The Port Washington, that's a done deal, isn't it?
Right. That's happening.
It just seems like the opposition to this came kind of late.
Yeah, that's something that one of the folks from the Party for Socialism and Liberation brought up to me, is that this appeared to happen kind of quickly in Port Washington. And yes, it's a done deal. But in another instance in Menominee, a planned data center there isn't going through. The mayor released a memo, I think, at the end of September saying that they're no longer interested in the project, this time from Balloonist LLC. And the mayor kind of cited concerns about the water usage. It would have been the fifth highest water user in the city, not the top. So yeah, that's what's happening this week, and that's what's happened in the last 2 weeks. Yeah.
Well, and as you said too, though, Shelley, it's building these data centers as far as providing jobs is one thing. Yes, you need construction workers in order to get this up and running. But once it's up and running, most of this stuff is automated mm-hmm. by design. So it will need many, many fewer people to run it than to build it.
Yeah.
That was pointed out to me from folks who were opposed. Tough to see it without putting eyes on how data centers work, right? Yeah. I should point out that Wisconsin already has about just under four dozen data centers. Most of them are in southeastern Wisconsin, according to one site that it's called the Data Center Map. I don't know much about it, but that seems to be what people are citing. There are 21 in Milwaukee, 5 in Kenosha and Racine. There are 11 in Madison. I didn't know that.
See, I think that's going to be a surprise to people to find out how many are already here. Mm-hmm. We're going to continue our discussion with Civic Media News Director Shelley Pittman on the other side. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network, and we'll be right back.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Are National Guard troops generally trained in law enforcement? No. National Guard troops like those President Donald Trump deployed to American cities in recent months to crack down on crime are not generally trained in law enforcement. For example, police officers in Washington, D.C. receive 21 training modules in criminal procedure, but Guard members receive none. Their primary training is focused on crowd control. Milwaukee's police union president suggested troops should be sent to Wisconsin's largest city. Governor Tony Evers called National Guard troops the, quote, wrong people, unquote, for fighting crime. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns. It's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at HazeldenBettyFord.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The Trump administration confirmed in September it is sharing driver's license and Social Security information among federal and state agencies from a massive database of personal and voter data. A class action lawsuit by voters and pro-voter groups has been filed to stop it. Since May, 38 states have received requests to turn over voter registration and voting records, according to the Brennan Center for Justice. As of October 1st, the only state to have complied is Indiana. Eight states which refused to comply have now been sued by the Trump Department of Justice. The administration reportedly repurposed an existing U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services database for verifying immigration status called Systematic Alien Verification for Entitlements, or the SAVE system. NPR reported in September that the immigration status of 33 million voters had been checked using the database. The new lawsuit contends, quote, Congress passed the Privacy Act of 1974 specifically to prevent the government from creating formal or de facto national databanks or centralized federal information systems that would consolidate sensitive personal information of Americans stored at separate agencies, unquote. The voters and groups are asking the court for an injunction prohibiting the administration from using personal data not allowed by the Privacy Act. We've linked the complaint from AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvitini on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. About an hour from now, we will wrap up the show, as we always do, with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Run for the Border, literally, edition. So stay tuned for that. Right now, we are joined by Civic Media News Director Shally Pittman. We've been talking about the data centers that are popping up, in some cases, in Wisconsin, others getting shot down, like the one in Mount Pleasant. When you sent us your show notes, Shally, before we got in the air here, again, I think people will be surprised by how many data centers are already in Wisconsin, because I didn't know that either.
Did you look at that map?
I didn't, but I was just looking at your show notes. I mean, again, 21 in Milwaukee, that's where are they?
Well, you know, I think some of them are smaller than kind of what we envision as
these big campuses.
Right. I can pull some up, but it's at datacentermap.com, and you can go ahead and look. I wanted to talk, though, more about why data centers might be attracted to Wisconsin right now, or why they might not be. In the last budget cycle, not the current one that we're currently in, but in the 2023-2025 biennial budget,
there was a sales and use tax exemption created to attract data centers to Wisconsin. It assumed that the data centers that would be interested would be maybe like some of these on the map that are maybe a little bit smaller and not the giant ones like the Microsoft facility in Mount Pleasant. And there's reporting from the outlet The Center Square that finds that there's been $70 million in foregone sales tax in the first 2 years of this being implemented. A good amount of that coming from Microsoft. So there's that. Did you hear about this at the time during the budget last cycle?
That skipped right past me.
But yeah. Am I surprised? Yeah. No. Wah, wah.
It's why the budget process is so important to pay attention to. Agreed. And why it's there are infinite stories in the budget process. So anyway, I haven't seen this reported out widely. So about a week and a half ago, there was an assembly committee that had a public hearing on kind of a technical update to this sales and tax exemption for data centers from the last budget, right? It's Assembly Bill 245, and it's supported by groups like Metro Milwaukee Association of Commerce, the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. They don't like to be called WEDIC, the Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, and the Wisconsin Utilities Association. It's also supported, though, by ARC Data Centers, LLC. And ARC Data Centers is a data center company, they said near Appleton, I think it's in Menasha, and their CEO testified during this public hearing. He explained how ARC Data Centers is a little bit different than your typical data center project, okay, where they allow multiple customers kind of within the same building. And so what this technical amendment would do would allow a company like ARC Data Centers to qualify for some of these tax credits, because right now under the what's written, it doesn't allow you to qualify for those tax incentives if you have multiple tenants. I think they called it condominium style data centers, mm-hmm, which is an interesting way to phrase it.
They're like data roomies.
Yeah, right. And speaking before this assembly committee, the CEO kind of talked about how they're not concerned. He was asked about concerns that have been voiced about data centers, and he said, "Look, you know, we generate the power on the property. There's a closed loop water supply." And he said the phrase, "All data centers are not equal," which I thought was interesting. Obviously, trying to distance himself, I think, from some of this other publicity. But he also spoke about why Wisconsin is competitive, as you know, we all depend on data centers in some way, I think, but why Wisconsin is a key market. The things that he mentioned I haven't heard widely, which is that we're right in the center of the United States, which is helpful for companies on both the
East and West coasts.
Right, on both coasts. He spoke that he said there was not as much tornado activity or tornadic activity.
Tornadic.
I mean, we still have some tornadoes, but maybe not quite as many as
Where's this guy from?
Like, I don't know. That's a good question. And then he also spoke about the fact that we are just attractive to places that want a disaster recovery strategy. So they want to back up the data somewhere, even if it's held somewhere else. Primarily, we're a good backup because Wisconsin is, all things being equal, relatively stable in terms of kind of climate. So I thought that was interesting, right? He also said, though, that Wisconsin would be just as good as neighboring states, except for this tax credit not applying evenly, and that their customers have gone to other states, including Illinois, Minnesota, and Texas. That's the update on that.
Shelly Pittman is Civic Media's news director. She joins us on Mondays to do a little news recap. Check out Civic Media today. Subscribe. It is fantastic. Thank you so much, Shelley. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
News coming up next. Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is WISS Berlin Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media station.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Brian Clark. Cheers today across Israel as Hamas released all 20 living hostages after more than 2 years. And President Trump told the Israeli parliament,
"The long and painful nightmare is finally over."
As for the deceased, the Israeli military says the Red Cross is en route to pick up a number of coffins from a designated location. Israel says it released more than 1,900 Palestinian prisoners as part of its end of the first part of this peace agreement. The long-term future is now the topic of a peace summit in Egypt. Former Defense and State Department official Steve Gagnard says while there are plenty of questions about what happens next in Gaza,
what's going to need to happen for the international community is get the humanitarian supplies in and then begin to think about how do the Israelis begin to withdraw.
But President Trump has just arrived in Egypt where he is co-chairing that summit. This is ABC News.